This is the playbook. Speaking of dear friends and great interviews, we're going to take a little shift in the game set life. You know, this isn't all about tennis and sports. This is a guy who's been chipping away. He's a chip off the old block. He's a true entrepreneur, and he's just an amazing entrepreneur, but in a different place. Michael Brandrup, he's an artist extraordinaire. He's done a few things in sports with his art, which I've been blessed to purchase a few little items from Topps that he painted. But Michael, welcome to Game Set Life.
Thank you so much for having me, friends. And a pleasure to meet you too as well, Rick.
Michael, listen, welcome to the show. Dave knows everybody that we have on. We've had a lot of sports guys on, and I kind of look for common threads of the guests that we have on, and we actually have a lot. Number one, I show players how to stroke and brush, and you're the maestro with a brush and your stroke, okay? You're a wizard at creating graffiti, and I teach players how to deal with Mr. Cheaty, all right? You're an artist with paint on the wall. What I do is with a stick and a ball. And finally, I train feet to move like a squirrel, but you're the master at painting a mural. Welcome to Game Set Life, Macy and Meltzer.
Thank you for that warm welcome. That was one of the most awesome introductions I ever heard. I love how you drew the lines between like sport and art. That's so awesome. I really feel so like fortunate and thankful to like talk with you guys. And me and Dave met like some years ago. So fun how we connected. And you actually caught me at a very special time. I am right now in Tulum. And I'm working remote for the first month here of 23. And it feels really awesome, actually, to kind of like decompress and kind of like do something that is not painting. I there's also like other sides of the business and what I do other than painting. So I'm here with my twin brother, and he's also like my manager, Dave. You met him, and so we're really just working remote and kind of like zooming out, and it feels amazing. So I was so happy because the first couple of weeks I've actually just been like vacation mode, and now I'm doing like all my routines and everything, and it feels great to doing it remote. I have like the beach just right behind me, and I just found like a quiet corner here at the little beach hotel I'm staying at to talk with you guys.
Well, you're one of one of the most creative people that I know, and you know, you started in the corporate world though, and your art was, you know, very much about, you know, providing a corporate value of, you know, being creative for branding or for products. That career has evolved to obviously your own personal branding and your own art, but you've applied it to many other aspects, including sports and entrepreneurship. What are some of the things that you've learned about being an artist that allows you not only to be creative, but to make your own money, to have your own business, and also apply it to things that you're passionate about?
I really think that it's fun because I just tuned in with you guys that you were talking about getting out of your comfort zone. And that's a really great place to start, because I took a huge leap of faith when I was like 30, because I hit a wall. I thought I found my passion, but I burned out. I hit a wall. I wanted to do something else. And I had like an identity crisis. And I just took some very, very bold decisions that was not linked to any reasoning at all. Like, you could not explain that with logic. And it actually comes down to that some of the best decisions that you will make in life are usually not linked to like logical and analytical reasons. It's like following like your deepest self. But here we're also talking about that you have to trust yourself and follow your intuition, because that will actually give you access to infinite resources. And I didn't know what I was capable of doing, but I wanted to challenge that and pursue my potential. But I felt trapped at my position in the corporate world. And I wanted, all this started because I wanted to be free and feel free. And just in one word, be happy. And when I moved from Denmark to the other side of the world, being Los Angeles, where I have my studio now, it really gave me wings. And it gave me, even though the first couple of years I was not making any money or anything, I was still happy. It came from within because I made some decisions for myself, some life-changing decisions to shift the paradigm and go on my own path. And I'm so thankful for that, because that also led me to this great moment right now with you guys on Europe, part of my path, and that's really awesome. So I think that's some of the things that comes into my mind first, that you really dare to challenge yourself. And but I think the thing that helped me the most to like get to a point, like a turning point of my career, where I could actually build a real business around my art, was it, you know, like learning by doing all the way. Like I and kind of like prevent regrets, that's some of the things. And you will meet a lot of obstacles, but I think like a perspective, if you can stay positive at no matter what lies throw at you, you have a very, very good chance to be successful. And how do you do that? I know that David actually, dear friend and mentor as well, challenged me a while ago to say thank you when I wake up and thank you when I go to bed. I'm still doing it. And living life through gratitude has taught me so much. And now it sounds a little weird this, but I'm almost excited for my next failure or fuck up, because I know then I will learn, then I will progress the most. When that happens, I'm just like, whoa, you know, just like a full eye opener, because you just live in this box and then you fuck up, or you do like you have like a struggle and hardships. Now I'm just excited for all that, and because that's when you grow the most. And if you can really encourage like your failures and your mistakes, and just see them as a part of your journey and your learning curve, then you will grow very, very fast. And it's when you grow, like I feel the most alive and the most happy to be in the pursuit of my potential.
First off, I love everything you just said. This is one of the cornerstones that makes great different than good. All right. You went all in. Had a passion, you risk everything, you weren't going to be denied, you get knocked down, you're going to keep going. You risk everything, even if you were on the street, you were going to do it your way. And the only time you fail is when you exit. You know, it might take a day, a week, a month, it might take 10 years. But if you just stay the course, all those qualities you get along the way will make you stronger. And I love the fact that you said you can't wait to your next failure, because it might be tomorrow. So I don't know when it's going to happen. But at the end of the day, if you can look at it like that, and the people listening, pay attention to that. It's gold on gold. Hey, that's epic what he just said.
Yeah. One of the other interesting things, and you know, it's so common within champions to have that type of perspective. But one of the interesting things is that, unlike an athlete, you know, an entrepreneur can really feel stuck, right? We a lawyer can, I see them, doctors feel stuck. People feel stuck in their life, and they feel all this pressure that they're going to disappoint other people by doing what makes them happy and going all in with what makes them happy. At that moment, Michael, I know you had your support of your brother, you know, but I'm sure a lot of other people thought you were crazy giving up a great corporate gig, making good money, if not great money, to, you know, be a street artist. And, you know, especially
crazy,
during the
crazy first... could be a compliment. So that cuts both ways.
I love crazy. I love crazy.
No.
Well, then you're in the right place. You're in the right place. You're at the crazy show here, Game Set Crazy. And more importantly, though, you know, what do you say to people that are feeling stuck in their jobs or their profession or even a sport? You know, there's guys in history that, and Rick has coached some of these people, they felt stuck that they're doing it for their parents, or, you know, they don't love it. So what do you tell someone that's feeling stuck today about going all in with what they believe in?
You know what? You can actually kind of like apply that same recipe, because if you are stuck, that means that you have grown out of your environment you're in now. So something new has to happen. So you can actually be thankful for your stuck, because that's like your mind telling you that something has to happen, that you kind of like hit the wall and you can't walk around anymore doing what you do. You have more inside you. You have more potential that need to be unleashed. And I feel it on my own body, and it's not a very nice experience. You feel uncomfortable, and remember, uncomfortable is good. So you feel very uncomfortable, and it's not a very nice place to be in, but I always try to travel in the future and look as an older self talking to the self I am now. And like, you will look back at this moment right now where you feel stuck, and you will like laugh and be thankful for this moment, because in 1 or 2 years, this will be the turning point of your career or your personal life or wherever it is that you feel stuck. So it's a moment that you have to embrace and take like a full action of. And if you don't know what to do, like maybe you listen to your deepest self, maybe you travel away from everything and like recenter. Or maybe you just do something that you have never tried before. Maybe you start doing martial arts, or maybe you do a bungee jump, or maybe you will, if you like, I had a struggle speaking to a lot of people, and I didn't feel like safe standing up in a room and talk to a lot of people. And then when my old school invited me to have a lecture on entrepreneurship in front of like hundreds of people, it scared the shit out of me, but I did it, and I was changed everything. So you go ahead and do what scares you, and your deepest fears, you face them. And I think that that feeling, the feeling of being stuck, like will vanish as thin air very, very fast.
Two things so here. Fear is the greatest motivator in the history of the world. So fear is good. And once you get pushed in there, you're going to learn. But if we could go back down memory lane a little bit for the people watching, can you tell us their early days in Denmark and the backyard and painting the panels, graffiti? And did your mom freak out about what's my son doing in the backyard with the paint, and how this all started? Because I think it's important for everybody to know, because people look at the moment and they look where they're at now, and they don't understand the journey. So could you back it up a little bit and talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I always loved to like draw and paint, but it was always a hobby for me. It was kind of just like that. I love painting, and I didn't grab a spray can until the year 2000. So that's like 23 years ago. That was the first time I picked up a spray can. And it kind of like changed everything, like, wow. And I started painting graffiti in my early teenage years. And my parents were like very supportive. And they were trying to keep me off the streets, painting the trains and the rooftops. So they would offer me to paint like wood paneling. And you know what? I like that because it actually made me work in a different way. I really like took my time like putting in the work, and that is where my passion was, to take my time and create something I could like really be proud of. But it was always a hobby, and I started studying graphic design. I also served the military. That was a great time for me as well, where that was the first time I really looked like fear and what am I capable of doing, just straight in the eye. And I could see that I was performing at 40 or 50%, but I thought I was doing my best. But no, like sometimes you just have to feel extreme pressure from your environment, or from like here, like it was the military, where I was pressed way beyond my boundaries. And I think that I took that with me to my further adventures. I started an education as a graphic designer. However, halfway in, I wanted to start my own company. Here I am, 22 years old, and I'm starting my first business with a friend and my brother, and that is design agency. And I had the best education and a great apprenticeship. I was doing movie posters and everything. And the company that had where I had the apprenticeship, they actually sued me because I skipped, I canceled the educational contract I had with them. That was 4 years, and I skipped halfway in. And I was starting a competing business with them. I started my own business. They sued me, and the school where I studied, they hated me because I was a great student and a great example for them. And then I was, you know, skipping starting my own. It was the company right out of my apartment with my brother and a friend. And for 2 years, we were living on like bread and water. And then suddenly we start getting the good clients, and we got like press and everything. And then the school called me if I wanted to come have a speech in entrepreneurship. And the people I was studying with from my old class were on their final year. It was really so mind blowing. They were still studying, and I had my business for like three time at that time. So I had like some crazy experiences through all that corporate life with a lot of things that was actually my education. I was just like learning by doing. I was learning like through real life happenings, like lessons that you will never forget, because it's real life slapping you right in the face. So you implement that right away. But 6 years into the agency, we had great clients. Chiquita Bananas and were some of our biggest clients. But I burned out, and I wanted to dedicate myself to my art practice. So I was doing my graffiti and my art on the side of the design agency, but it wasn't enough. I was, you know, answering to rules and structures, and you need to attract this audience, you need to do this logo design and all this. And I just wanted to feel free, but I didn't know how. So I just started painting. My brother tapped me on my shoulder and said, "Michael, I think I can sell your art." He did. I went viral on social media, on Facebook, before the algorithm as we know it now. So for $0, I reached like 1 million people, and they crashed my web shop and everything in 2014. And I wanted to do this on a larger scale. I wanted to, you know, spread out my wings and fly. And I always loved Los Angeles, and it's a, you know, great industry and community for the kind of art I do. Like the urban art scene is very mature. There's a lot of galleries, a lot of opportunities, the biggest opportunities in the world, great brand collaborations. I moved to LA for the first 2 years. I almost lived on the streets, and everybody was trying to talk me out of it, even my parents. And my brother was also very skeptical. "You want to move to LA? Are you out of your mind? Like, you just started in Denmark." Like, I was a nobody in Denmark still, or just like this artist that's just like, "Hey, I'm an artist now, you know, I want to go all in." That's where I took the leap of faith, and I kind of like let out the noise. And I don't know where this came from, but I just did it, and it was freaking crazy. But I also made kind of like a deal with myself that I wanted this so much that if that means that I have to live on the street, then I'm ready to live on the street. Like, I want to do whatever it takes. I wanted this too bad to succeed as an artist in LA. And it almost were the moment where I had to like move out of this like a ghetto apartment I had in the bad end of Hollywood, sharing it with a guy I didn't know. And when my brother came over, he would sleep on an air mattress and stuff like that. But after 2 years, I picked up, I got some projects in, and then suddenly I had LinkedIn, Google, American Express, and Nike lined up as brand collaborations within like 3-4 months. I got on the biggest talk show in Denmark, and like suddenly the galleries reached out. "We want to represent you. We want this, we want that." And since I collaborated with Bentley and American Airlines, and I work with some great galleries. I just did the Wynwood Walls Museum as well. And so, but it's just a crazy journey. Like, it took me 30 years to figure out that this was my path. But I, you know, just, I kept trying. I kept, you know, take crazy decisions and get a lot of punches in my face all the time doing it. It's not an easy path, especially if there are any like artists listening. You really have to want this so much, because 99% of artists can hardly make a living out of it. It's really, so you have to be just very obsessed with it. And I usually like are pleased to offer like whatever mentorship or advice I can. So feel free, if any artists listening, they can always reach out to me on my Instagram, and I'd be happy to give you some pointers, because it is like an industry that is extremely, extremely hard, and you just have to hang in there and keep growing and developing yourself. You have to learn like every day and have some really, really great routines and a work ethic, and the power to stay positive. I think that is some really good tools to have.
Yeah, and you're able to do that.
Your attitude has really determined your altitude and where you're at today. But to back up a second, when you got sued by that company, I know how you're wired. Did you look at that as a compliment? Because you must have been doing something right. The way you're wired, you must say that's a compliment. You're doing something right.
Yeah, right. I know I felt like so many people were mad at me, and I am not always good at handle that. I'm a very like calm, nice person. I don't want to have any enemies, you know. So it kind of like put me in a position where I was already struggling, you know. But I also had to look at it like, damn, they really appreciate what I did for them, you know, since they want to take this to the next level, you know. It was hard at that point. I was a very, very different version of who I am now. But I handled it as good as I could, and I saw it like a bump on the road. It was not gonna change anything for me. I was locked. I was like razor focused on which direction I had to go, and nothing could change that. I was so determined on this direction, because I was so far in, and I knew like this is no turning back, whatever.
Yeah, the desire that you must be what you can be. And I remember the first time I got sued, Rick, my dad told me, congratulations. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you finally are successful enough. Somebody wants to take something that you have. So I looked at it a different way. But just to finish up, I think all the great champions we have on this show and the ones that we know, they have that desire that they must be what they can be, but they complement it with a empty mile attitude. And I think there has to be a distinction, because we talked about Michael early on, you know, Rick deals with the prime rib, but he also works with a hamburger. And, you know, a lot of the hamburger, the only difference between hamburger and prime rib is the hamburger, they live in the extra mile, right? They're the kids. They go the extra mile every once in a while, and they say, hey, Coach Rick, but you know, I worked out till 2 a.m. last Thursday. And the real champions in whatever field they're in are like Michael. They're all in. They go the extra mile every single day. And that's where the empty mile live, where very few of us get to live a happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy journey. And not that there's not mistakes, failures, and setbacks, like freaks like us three that look forward to our next lessons. And that's not a lesson with Rick Macy, it's the next lesson of life. So it's not nearly as pleasurable. But Michael, thank you for being a beacon in your industry and to all. I know you do a lot in sports as well with Nike and Tops. You know, I have a few hand-painted baseballs. My hero, Tony Gwynn, is one of them, but many others. Check out Michael himself. He's shop.michaelslavy.com. Unbelievable art. Come back and join us, my friend. Any last words, Rick?
No, Michael, thank you so much. So many gold nuggets. Everybody watching can learn so much, and your story's amazing, and I loved it.
Thank you so much, guys.